welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Second Corinthians, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthian church, and again, I want to welcome and commend you for being here this morning, that extra hour. I know we've all got a little extra sleep in our eye, I'm sure, but praise God. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started here. Second Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says makes a powerful statement here this morning. He says, "For though we walk in the flesh, these natural physical bodies, we do not war according to the flesh." It's not a natural physical war like we think of in the wars that people fight today. He goes on to say, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not natural, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." And here's the same verse 5 in the Amplified. It says, "Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive to the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One." You know, these are things that you cannot do with your own mental power. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care what your IQ is. I don't care what kind of a mental discipline you have. You cannot cast down arguments, every thought into captivity. It takes the weapons of our warfare to do that. And it takes God's help to be able to do this stuff. Now, when you talk about these areas, a lot of times when you see a scripture like this, you're about to delve into some kind of a teaching, message, sermon on the mind. And there are a lot of really good teachings out there these days on the mind and getting victory. I know Joyce Myers has a series on the battlefield of the mind, and several others have some really good teachings along those lines too. So if you got a chance and opportunity, I know Keith Moore has a good message called Transformed, where he just kind of focuses on that. And this morning, I'm not really wanting to delve into that great, huge topic of the mind and overcoming, but yet I do want to talk about a specific aspect this morning of the mind and getting victory in our thought life, and I want to do it in a way that I'm just believing God is going to spark hope on the inside of all of us this morning, because as we think about the mind, we think about thoughts, we a lot of times think of those thoughts that are attached to things that we shouldn't do, okay? And so the idea then is that if I can just think right, I'm going to do right. And that, in principle, is absolutely right. You know, you want to think right. You want to have your mind, your heart and mind in the right place. But this morning, I really want to get a little bit more specific. You know, this is almost going to be a little bit of a surgical, piece of this broad teaching of the mind, okay? Because I want to kind of put this under the magnifying glass and crank about 300 times on a certain aspect of the battle of the mind and getting victory in our thought life. Because this is just something I'll tell you, I've walked through as a believer. I know wherein I speak. I've overcome and have, with the grace of God, and just continue to overcome, different areas in my life. But so many times when we think about the mind and the thought life and overcoming and the battlefield of the mind and whatnot, we focus on the obvious and we leave out the subtle. Okay? If I was to talk about if I was to talk about, things that we aren't supposed to do, we'll look at a few things later on, but you can think of, just natural physical things. in terms of not doing certain things. And let me just go and jump ahead to the title of my message because I'm going to kind of springboard off it. I want to talk about breaking thought patterns, okay? I want to talk about breaking patterns of thought. Patterns of thought. These are patterns that typically are patterns that you live with or tend to live with or have to deal with in your life, and you've probably had to deal with them, maybe for weeks, maybe for years, who knows? But these are invisible, right? I'm not talking about something physical, natural that you shouldn't do. I'm talking about something that comes against your mind, what the scripture refers to again, as we just looked at, strongholds, high things, arguments, those things that come against our mind that come in patterns. What do I mean by a pattern of thought? What is a pattern? A pattern is a design that repeats itself over and over and over and over again. And many times, that's what you'll experience when you're dealing with this kind of warfare stuff. It's a reasoning. It's a pattern of thought. It's maybe an argument, you know, that you'll have in your heart and your mind. It could be a fear. It could be condemnation. It could be, you know, all kinds of different things that will come against your mind, but there will be a pattern to it. And why I want to look at this is because when we're talking about, and I want to connect this to something, when we're talking about healing the brokenhearted, all right? I'm talking about healing in your own heart of things you've gone through. This right here, knowing how to break thought patterns, is what is ultimately going to restore your soul. It's going to heal your heart. You know, if you've noticed in regarding physical healing, a lot of times we've experienced physical healing in two different ways. You might pray a prayer and praise God. You get that zap and you're healed and you're whole and the pain's gone instantly. That's wonderful when that happens. But many, many times, physical healing, you lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. A lot of times there's recovery involved in healing. And so when you talk about the healing of a broken heart, there are times, praise God, you'll experience a presence experience of God and it just, whew, the fear's gone. It's like zap, my heart is healed and whole. But other times there's going to be a recovery from the healing of a broken heart. And it's not going to be a zap. And if you're looking for the zap, you're going to miss the supernatural healing power of God that's available to all of us through the weapons that God's given us, okay? So we're talking about breaking thought patterns, okay? As we look at thought patterns, I'm going to just kind of identify. The first thing that we want to do is just be able to identify what we're talking about. And as we do, before I get into it, I do want to just make one thing more clear. A thought pattern, as we're going to find out as far as these things that come at us, they are just as addictive as physical things, okay? You think those cigarettes, that alcohol, drugs, all the physical, natural things we tend to think of when we think of addiction. But when you look at what the Bible calls the flesh, it talks about that stuff, but it doesn't stop at that stuff. We many times tend to stop at that. And what we don't realize is that we'll stay addicted to things just because they're not things that people can see, all right? I know if I turn away from, you know, something where I'm not going to drink that anymore, I'm not going to eat that anymore, I'm not going to watch that anymore, I'm not going to read that anymore, all right? That's one thing, those natural physical things, I'm not going to do that anymore. But when you begin to break thought patterns, it doesn't stop there. You say, I'm not going to think that anymore. You notice what Paul said. He said, bringing every thought and purpose away captive to the obedience of Christ. That's not just bad habits, it's thoughts. And this is where the healing begins. When you begin to get things at that thought, you recognize thought patterns and realize that these things are just as addictive as the natural stuff. So we're going to find out the first thing in terms of breaking thought patterns. I'm going to just hopefully bring more clarity here. What I mean by this is we want to recognize these patterns, all right? And this stuff works for the obvious stuff, too. If you've got physical, natural addictions, this message will work also. But, like I said, I really want to hone this message specifically in on some of these other areas that we don't always talk about. And yet, they can be eating our lunch, but we never really address them in church all the time. So, recognizing the patterns. You got to recognize that they're there, first and foremost. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13, you know, the first thing that we got to know about these patterns that we experience is that they're common to man. We're all going through the same kind of patterns. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. All right? As we look at that passage, we find out, first of all, that whatever these patterns are, they're common to man. They're not unique to me. Of course, they feel unique to all of us when we're going through them. Yet at the same time, we see that they're not. Yes, you know, people are going through it. It's different faces, names, circumstances, and situations. But the same essence of what you're experiencing is experienced by everybody. They're common. You're not having a unique experience outside of mankind here. But you'll notice when a lot of times you read this scripture and you think, we kind of read that and think, well, God is faithful, won't allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able. We kind of stop there and think, well, God won't put on us more than what we can handle. And really, that is not so much the thought. You got to read that whole verse. He goes on to say, he won't be tempted beyond what you're able, but how is that how is that possible? With the temptation, he'll make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. In other words, the escape is what gives me the ability to bear it, not my spiritual fitness. It's the escape. It's the escape. He provides escape that I may be able to bear it. There are times I'm in some, you know, I've been strong in the Lord, I've been weak in the Lord. Well, whether I'm strong in the Lord or weak in the Lord, I can still overcome temptation because he gives me a way of escape to bear it. We'll talk about that escape a little bit later. Right now we're just talking about identifying thought patterns. The first thing that we got to realize, it's common to man. It is absolutely stuff that we all go through, that we all experience. And God is faithful. Praise God, at the moments of those temptations, the moments those thought patterns come at us, he is making a way of escape to bear it. You know, God not only has ways of escape to bear it, the world has ways of escape to bear things. Have you noticed that? Have we all taken worldly escapes at times to give relief to temptation? To do things, like we're getting before, to watch things, do things. The natural stuff. That's what we were talking about before. The natural substance stuff. You know, what you're, you know, if you're not eating, watching, drinking, all the stuff. A lot of times, those are just the world's ways of escape to help us bear a temptation or an anxiety of the moment. They're just different forms of escape. So God has an escape. The world has an escape. And many times, the world's escapes, those natural addictions, are really, really start because of other things in our life. And that's what we're going to kind of get into a little bit more. Galatians, here we go, 5:19-21. So we throw out that word a lot of times, the flesh, the world, and the devil. We don't want to yield to the flesh. Well, what do we mean? That's kind of ambiguous. We're not just talking about like a physical body flesh, but we're talking about something else. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, which is pharmakeia, which would be use of drugs, hatred, contentions. Look at after the sorcery. You kind of get a different kind of a work of the flesh all of a sudden. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy. And then it kind of flips back to the natural: murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. But you see, sandwiched in between, you know, what the classic stuff, the adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, and murder, envies, and drunkenness, sandwiched in that, you've got this other stuff. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. We don't always think of those things as works of the flesh. These are our problems. These are our hurts. These are the things many times we will find ourselves even coddling and holding on and clinging to. And the Bible calls them flesh. So if I, Ed House, stop drinking the wrong thing and reading the wrong thing and watching the wrong thing, and I let go of the adultery, fornication, uncleanness, envy, murder, the drunkenness, and all that stuff, but I hold on to my hatred and my contentions and my jealousies, I'll become a very proud religious person who doesn't do that stuff anymore, but I'll be just as bound by the flesh. The Bible calls all that stuff flesh. So my hatred, my contentions, they don't get a pass. And this is where every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ matters. We can play religious games with it and kind of glorify our dissension, selfish ambitions, outbursts of wrath, hatred, contempt, jealousies, all that stuff. But you know what? At the end of the day, that middle stuff is just as addictive as the other stuff. And what happens? It's patterns of thought, different things that we'll experience. And when God wants to do a work in our heart, he wants to deliver us from all that stuff. Because it's not just a matter of, we've all experienced that too, even in the natural. You can exchange one vice for another vice or something like that, you know? But what God wants us to do is to be free from the power of the flesh. Not just to exchange, you know, fornication for hatred, but to be free from all that stuff. And how does that happen? And again, here's what I'm wanting to do. I'm just talking right now about recognizing patterns of thought. In other words, I'm putting that kind of the whole teaching of the mind under the microscope and looking at a very specific area of our thought life. And again, this works for the other stuff too. It works for the natural classic stuff, all right? But I'm saying do a special check and say, you know, am I allowing this junk to just live in me? Am I going to begin to take this captive to the obedience of Christ? I want to recognize destructive thought patterns in my life. Because ignorance can be a big part of what can hold us back spiritually. If I'm sowing to the flesh, all of the flesh reap corruption. If I'm sowing and feeding my mind on that stuff, it's going to hold me back. It's going to affect me. Even though I might not classify it as sin because it's not one of the things that I normally look at as sin. That's something natural, physical. Colossians says the same thing. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Now, you're going to see two categories again. Here we get the kind of the physical stuff, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. We understand that. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these. Here's the second category, the invisible stuff again. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Don't lie to one another since you've put off the old man with his deeds. All right? So when we're talking about overcoming and getting victory in our life, we're not just talking about category A. Again, I could be not, I don't do category A, but I can be full of category B. The anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filth, and I'm just as bound. Just as addicted. And again, my point is, these thought patterns, and I'm kind of focusing on B under the microscope this morning, these things are just as addictive, again, as any substance of that you want to take, anything that you would put into your body. That stuff will get in your blood, as it were, and will wig-wag you. You could be having a great day, and all of a sudden you see something, reminds you of something that puts you back to something that happened that stirs all that stuff back up again, and it isn't a wonderful day anymore. Well, that's just as addictive as needing to, you know, get something physical in the natural. The enemy can control us by that. But when we begin to, and what it'll open up the old hurts and sores, and then all of a sudden it's bang, you're back there. But when you begin to get overcome that area, praise God, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. There is a completeness of freedom God has for us. And again this morning, I don't want to stop short at just focusing on overcoming that, but to realize that, you know what? I can be free in every single area of my life. And so I'm going to take a look at, one other scripture. Now, let me say this too. The Bible, when he's talking about this stuff, the scripture clearly, obviously doesn't expect that we are not having trouble with this. Because he's telling us, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness. If we were supposed to be free from all this automatically, we wouldn't be exhorted to put it to death. All right? Also, put off all these. Obviously, he's talking to born-again Christians who love God, and he's telling them, exhorting them to do this because they need to do that. All right? There's not an expectation. Well, if you were really a Christian, you wouldn't have to do any of this. No, because you are a Christian, you need to do this. All right? The new birth doesn't make you free from all the junk that we experience in the appetites of a fallen body. You still have the body of a sinner. All right? Your body hasn't been redeemed yet. Your spirit's been made new, but your physical body has not been made new yet. That's why it fights you. And this is a natural fight that we've got as a spirit being. So realize this is just part of what we're dealing with. But James puts it this way, and this is such a powerful thing as it relates to what we're talking about here. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. It's full of mercy and good fruits. It's without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Praise God. This passage of Scripture in James 3, 13 through 18, is what I just like to call the wisdom test. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of another they won't follow. He didn't even say, my sheep know my theology. He said, my sheep know my voice. They know what I sound like. He told us what he sounds like. He's meek and he's lowly in heart. He's not going to be harsh and condemning. He's going to be kind and gentle, a good shepherd. And he gives us a very good list of adjectives of what that good shepherd voice sounds like. But here's the powerful one right here. And again, this is where we can identify certain thought patterns we may have given a pass in our mind for years. Feeling like, you know what? Yep, that's me. And yep, the enemy can actually put thought patterns of pain and hurt and what I sometimes call a victim complex, where I'm hurt and I'm bad and I'm just living that over and over and over again, and I'm proud of it, and I'm just, but it's okay, but I got strength to deal with it, and I got enough love to free. No, God wants you to be free from it. There are patterns of thought that he does not want you to even engage in anymore. These are just as addictive. Again, maybe I'm not smoking the bad stuff that's getting my body all up, okay? And if you are, no condemnation. Obviously, we're all overcoming things in our life. I'm not saying this, but I'm just using it as a contrast. Let's say I'm not doing that, but I'm over here, and I'm smoking my victim complex and thinking about how I've been hurt over and over and over and over again and just smoking it. But I don't do that anymore. It's all addictive. And when you're free, the cool thing, see, why does God want us to be free from these things? So we can hear from heaven. So we can hear what God is saying. So we can, like Jesus said, have ears to hear. We can hear what the Father is saying for us to say. We can see what the Father wants us to do. There's clarity. We have a spirit of a sound mind because it's not bogged down by any category of stuff. But here's a powerful insight. He said, who's wise and understanding among you? Apparently they were having a spirituality contest. He said, okay, the winner of the spirituality contest is going to look like this. What he does is going to be done in the meekness of wisdom. There's going to be a sweet spirit about a real spiritual person. But he goes on to say, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. There's a temptation to think that when you're getting something and it is causing bitterness and self, this is where I'm talking about dwelling on stuff and working you up, you can think, yeah, this is God and he's doing this to stir me up, to warn me, and James is saying, no. When God does speak to you, when God does want to warn you about something, when God does want to give you direction, it's going to sound like this. It's going to be pure and peaceable and gentle, willing to yield. Willing to yield is a powerful thing. You know, sometimes you'll see the debates going on, these, you know, we're in our election cycle, and you'll see two people, and they're not willing to yield. They're just talking over the top of each other. The wisdom that is from above is willing to yield. The wisdom that's from above is secure enough to hear the other side. It's not afraid. The wisdom that's from above, there's a peace about it. This wisdom doesn't have that kind of peace. you're always right. And the other person's always wrong, 100%, both ways. You might be a little wrong, but it's so minuscule, it's not even worth thinking about. But when you start taking every thought into captivity, you begin to realize, maybe I ought to make sure that I know where my wisdom's coming from. Gentle, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. But here we see something he says, very powerful. He says in verse 15, this wisdom does not descend from above. Why did he have to tell them that in those explicit words? Because they believed they were getting a revelation. They were angry, they were hateful, they were mad, and they were hearing from God. It's like, you know, Jesus' disciples, when the people were, there were people of Samaria were kind of mocking, persecuting Jesus, the disciples were so offended, and they said, Jesus, should we call down fire on them like Elijah did? And Jesus looked at him and said, you don't know what spirit you're of. They believed they were right, and they were just in a bunch of self-seeking hatred and anger and mad. Little persecution, they couldn't handle it. Tried to spiritualize it. But what are they saying here? This is the stuff, okay, that we're aware of, and we got to realize that it is the kind of thing that the enemy does. So step one, we're just talking about simply being able to recognizing these patterns of thought, and really recognizing, too, that they are these patterns of thought, if they go unchecked, if we just spiritualize them and figure out how to live on top of them, they will develop that addiction. They'll develop that stronghold in our life. And we won't even realize that there's an ignorance because we're just looking at the natural physical things that we shouldn't be doing. And why don't we want to do those things? Because people are going to see us and judge us, okay? But when you begin to live for God, you see it's bigger than just not doing the don'ts, the classic don'ts, so people don't see you so they think bad about you. It's not, forget that, that's out the door. It's bigger than that. A lot of people might not be doing the classic don'ts, but they're just as bound, okay? It's about being free on the inside, where in my heart, in my mind, I'm free. There is no pattern of thought coming to just ruin my day out of the blue. Praise God. In the same way I can get free from natural stuff, I can get free from those patterns of thought. I got to recognize, though, that they are in the category of the flesh. They have all the same addictive nature. What is the flesh? The flesh is addictive. It's compulsive. It's just out of the blue. It's those things. And these things are just that way. Right? Somebody once broke them up into white-collar sins, blue-collar sins. Okay? However you want to look at it. The natural, invisible stuff that are not physical that you're doing, but that are coming against you, they have the same properties of the flesh, and realizing, recognizing that. And the cool thing is we're going to get ready to go on to the next one, but before we do, I just want to just clarify, too, that the flesh is addictive, but also the flesh is trainable. It can be trainable good, or it can be trainable bad. All right? And so, in the natural, physical, if I did take a physical, natural example, if I was to try to smoke cigarettes, like use this one, I would be coughing up here, would be pretty silly. But if I kept smoking them, I would learn how to smoke them, and then I would keep doing it and keep doing it, and then not only could I learn how to smoke them, but after a while, I would begin to acquire a taste for them, and I would begin to like them, and after a while, I'd begin to need them. But I can start from anything. I've never done hard drugs before. But if I forced myself to do those drugs, all of a sudden I'd experience those highs to go, oh, wow, this is why people do drugs. You know, I can force myself to do that. I can addict. Even as a Christian, I can force myself. I can addict to anything. If you've got one of these, you can addict. All right? I don't care what it is. You might say, oh, I would never do that. Well, if you just kept doing it over and over and over and over and over again, the fallen nature of this body, eventually, like I said, smoking cigarettes, you might choke them down for quite a while before you can get in. But after a while, there's part of this fallen nature that it'll cultivate, it'll awaken, it'll desire stuff that's wrong, it's bad. This flesh is trainable in the wrong side. This flesh is trainable under righteousness too. You can begin to train. You can begin to train yourself in spiritual things. You can train yourself in the Word of God to develop patterns of good patterns, of healthy things that are going to build into you spiritually. And you might choke on this the first few times you get up and want to read a few scriptures. Well, I haven't been in that book for years. Oh my, what does this even mean? You know? But as you begin to take your time and begin to develop and train yourself, pretty soon it's going to awaken things on the inside of you. It's going to awaken spiritual things, awaken things you've already experienced in your life, bring to you remembrance things. Praise God. You can begin to develop and train things. You know, one of the great examples of our flesh being trainable is this morning, daylight savings time. We're all a little extra tired this morning, probably. Lost that hour. We might be a little tired throughout our day. We might even be a little tired too tomorrow when we wake up. But by next Sunday, we won't even miss that hour. Because we'll adapt, we'll change, and all of a sudden, pretty soon, we're adapted. So, thing that we want to realize, the breaking thought patterns, we got to recognize that they're there, okay, and that they can be broken. All right. The next thing that we want to look at, too, is permission to break them. I think, why do I have to have permission to break thought patterns? Well, the nature of the flesh is you know, when you talk about, sometimes you'll see situations where there's abusive situations, and you think, man, why does a person stay in that abusive situation? The same reason you stay in abusive situations. How many things have been beating you up for year after year after year? And God's providing the way of escape, but we stay in the abusive situation. I'm not talking about people hitting you right now, all right? I'm talking about patterns of thought that have been beating us up and beating us up, and we stay in that abusive situation. But there's a way out. But you gotta give yourself permission to break them. We've recognized them, but we gotta realize that, you know what, it takes a conscious effort. Okay, I see that, I know it's bad, I've been putting up with it, but is it okay for me to really not think this way anymore? It's like cutting off part of your body. If you've been thinking along certain lines for years, that's vulnerable. You got to really, am I getting whacked out on religion here? Am I really going to stop thinking about that? Come on, what's the scriptural basis for this? I'm going to really change the way I think. I'm going to repent from a pattern of thought the same way I would repent from a bad drug. Yeah, exactly right. But you're going to have to realize that you can do this. This is okay. This is normal. In the same way we saw that it was normal that we deal with the things that are common to man, it's normal that these bodies are fighting us in the wrong ways. It's also okay, and it's normal, and it's proper for us to realize that it's okay for us to not have to engage in them anymore. So let's take a look at some scriptures along these lines. Apostle Paul says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him thus no longer. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We've heard this scripture a lot of times just in getting an understanding that when we were born again, we became brand new on the inside. Jesus is making all things new, but he's doing it in segments. He's doing it in phases. Our spirit is new at the new birth. We're going to get a new body someday, and we're going to live on a new heaven and earth someday. Praise God. But you'll notice that right now you're in a season where your spirit's new, but your body hasn't been made new yet. You got some things to deal with. But that scripture lets us know, I am brand new. Hallelujah. But he says something in verse 16. From now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. No one. That includes you. In other words, what the Apostle Paul is talking, really, talking about love and really seeing past each other's rough edges and realizing, hey, we're new creations in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. And to realize that that's the way we are to see ourselves too. Whenever I have done something, let's say, go back to the natural physical stuff. If I've engaged in something that I shouldn't have eaten or smoked or watched or whatever I shouldn't have done in the physical natural, when I've done that, it has never satisfied my spirit. Flesh only satisfies flesh. Flesh can't satisfy that new creation. The Word satisfies the new creation. The Spirit, even this morning we were talking about, you know, declaring the promise and the Spirit bearing witness with your spirit. There's a deep calling unto deep, and it's awesome, and it's power, and you see things. That's what satisfies the new creation, not the flesh stuff. So even when you have yielded to your flesh, the real you is not satisfied by it. Flesh is satisfied, but not the inward man. There's this outward man, there's the inward man. And so it's important to realize that. So he says, regard no one according to the flesh. That includes ourselves. When we're talking about these patterns of thought, we know the weights and the sins that so easily beset us. We know those patterns that get us off from a close fellowship with God. Again, they could be patterns of fear, bitterness, condemnation, guilt, all those different kind of things. But as we look at them, we got to realize that that is according to our flesh. We are supposed to know ourselves according to the Spirit. So in other words, when those pulls come against us, when they come against our minds, our thoughts, we got to realize that, well, praise God, that is not the real me talking. That's just simply that's that other guy. That's that other person. You know, that's that the appetites of this body. But it is not my spirit man. In other words, your new creation, think about, okay, kind of be in your own mind, as we've been talking to this point so far. Maybe you got that one thing or two thing or three things when I'm talking about patterns of thought that you know that get you, okay? Those patterns of thought that will pull your focus off from God, or could, again, be fear, condemnation, things like that, your new creation does not get pulled off by that. The reasonings that come against your mind that make you vulnerable and get you your focus off, the new you is not afraid. The new you isn't at all. The old things have passed away. All things have become new in your spirit man, who you are on the inside. Okay? We'll talk about later how you're getting transformed by the renewing of your mind. But you need to realize on the inside, that's not you. Flesh is not you. In fact, you don't even know yourself according to the flesh anymore. Is that whacked out spiritual religion, spiritual fantasy? No, it's Bible. We're not to be knowing ourselves according to the flesh, but knowing ourselves as a new creation. I am a new creation. The old has passed away. When I experience that thought pattern, praise God, I know one thing. That new person, it could be, you know, the strife, the wrath, the anger, things like that. My new creation is not worked up a bit. The new man on the inside isn't even flinching at those patterns of thought. Not even a little. If I know myself according to the inward man, by faith, it's passed away. It's become new. I'm secure because of what God has done in me. I am a new creation. The Apostle Paul puts it another way as far as this. Again, we're just talking about giving yourself permission, because these things become such an intimate part of our thinking. It's just kind of, ugh, how can I just not think that anymore? Well, I'm brand new. I identify it as flesh. I've identified it as flesh, okay? I've passed it through the wisdom test, and it failed the wisdom test, okay? I know that. So no matter how I feel about it, I know that it's not from above. Because if it was from above, it would sound like this. So, we got a pattern of thought. It failed the wisdom test. All right, I know that. However, as I'm taking this pattern of thought, I realize at the same time that I'm not supposed to know myself according to the flesh. This is a natural fleshly pattern of thought tendency. We're human beings with insecurities and frailties, and so we're vulnerable to these. Thank God the works of the flesh cover all that stuff in between. And so I can begin to say, hey, I'm a new creation. This thing that makes me feel all off, it doesn't even cause my new creation to flinch. She's brand new in God. You know, when the Apostle Paul said, you're going to stand before him unreprovable, without rebuke, you know, and without reproof before the presence of a holy God, that's the new creation. There's nothing we can do. It's a gift. But that's who I am. That's what the gift made me. Paul goes on to put it in another powerful way. So in a sense, I give myself permission. I'm not obligated to have to go that direction because I am brand new on the inside. All I'm doing is satisfying flesh. I'm not satisfying who I really am. I don't have to go there. All right? Does that sound like denial a little bit? Yeah. Stay with me. Romans 8:12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Amplified. So then, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh. We are not obligated to our carnal nature to live a life ruled by the standards and set up by the dictates of the flesh. New Living. So, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation whatsoever to your sinful nature urges, to what your sinful nature urges you to do. Okay? That's well put. You kind of read that in passing. Therefore, brethren, we're not debtors to the flesh. Well, what does that mean? You are not obligated to the pulls of your body. You're not obligated to the pulls of the flesh. And that's the whole flesh sandwich, right? Not just the physical stuff, but the emotional, mental, mind game stuff. That's all flesh. You're not obligated to any of it. You are not a debtor to it. When it's calling you as a debt collector wanting its payment, you don't have to answer that call. You're not obligated to it. Not even a little bit. You're not obligated. You are not a debtor to your flesh. That's very opposite of the world, isn't it? The world says you are a debtor to your flesh. If you feel something, you better explore it. You better yield to it. In fact, you are in denial. If you don't yield to it, you're in denial. But God says, the Bible says, you are not a debtor to your flesh. Just because the flesh pulls or cries something doesn't mean you have to go running and say, okay, yes, whatever, yeah, and I'm going to satisfy and appease you. No, wrong, you're not a debtor. Let the phone ring. You're not a debtor to your flesh. You're not. What are we talking about? Giving yourself permission? Giving yourself permission to break some thought patterns this morning? You're going to have to go through some, but before you can, you know, we all know the answer in the end. It's kind of like, you're going to have to think on the right things. Yeah, I know that. I got to think on the right things. But before you can think on the right things, you got to believe some right things about yourself. You got to understand the world that you're living in. You're a new creation with no obligation to your flesh. Now I can start to think right. But I got to believe something first. It's not just mind over matter. It's not just staying emotionally inspired. It's knowing the truth. It's the truth that makes me free. What is the truth? I am a new creation on the inside. No work of the flesh. None. White collar, blue collar, however you want to classify it, none of it is a part of who I am on the inside. And I am not a debtor to any of it. I'm not a debtor to bitterness. I'm not a debtor to jealousy. I'm not a debtor to outbursts of wrath. I'm not a debtor to it. I don't owe it anything. Have you noticed that the flesh will negotiate with you? You know, it's a big, bold move. The weapons of our warfare are powerful. There's powerful warfare stuff going on in just right here. You know, CNN isn't going to interrupt broadcast to break in when you get a breakthrough. This is very quiet, it's very private, and yet it's very powerful. Powerful through God. And all of a sudden, some of this stuff begins to break. And this is where the rubber meets the road, faith meets real life as it comes to the healing of your broken heart. When you begin to allow and realize and not give a pass to some of this other stuff. It failed the wisdom test. I got a choice. Am I going to spiritualize it? Or am I going to realize that I have no obligation to that either? It's not serving me in any way. It's holding me back spiritually. You know, spiritual people compare spiritual with spiritual. So even as I'm saying some of this stuff this morning, the Holy Spirit is speaking in ways I can't. I can kind of expound some of these principles of the word. But you got to let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart this morning and be clear in your own heart. That sermon that's between you and him, as he takes this and applies it to your life and realize whatever that thing is, you can be free from that too. Praise God. So as we're realizing, we're recognizing some things, we're going to give ourselves permission to be able, in the same way we turn away from the natural physical stuff, to turn away from patterns of thought. I have no moral obligation to it. Bitterness, strife, wrath. Not from above. What's my life going to be like without that? I don't know. Let's find out. It'll be better. The more spiritually minded you are, the more life and peace you have. And the more the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus can flow in your life. So, finally, breaking the patterns, which is ultimately where we want to get to. We kind of looked at, first of all, kind of covered some of this. You know, Romans 8, 12 through 13, you know, he says, therefore, brethren, we're debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. And he goes on to say, but if you live according to the flesh, you will die. You experience that confusion and every evil work that James is talking about. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You'll experience the life and peace. All right? And so what he's saying in response to not being debtors to the flesh, he talks about by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body. And again, we're talking about the deeds of the body. We're not just talking about physical, natural stuff. We're talking about the works of the flesh as a whole. You can put to death, in the same way you can put to death adultery, fornication, lewdness, you can also put to death jealousy, contentions, outbursts of wrath. All those areas of the flesh can be put to death. In the same way. How? By the Spirit of God. Same Spirit can break those patterns. Can begin to put to death those things. So we saw here in Colossians 3:5, it says, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Amplified says, so kill, deaden, deprive of power the evil desire lurking in your members, those animal impulses, and all that is earthly in you that is employed in sin. In other words, he's recognizing we still got this thing we're having to put to death. There is a process of putting to death those things. And so many times the putting to death has been couched as kind of holier than thou. He's kind of a sanctification. I'm just, you know, and when you realize what he's talking about is really getting free. When you really implore this right, you're going to be, your broken heart's going to get healed. It's bigger than not doing the don'ts. It's being healed on the inside in all those different ranges and areas of the flesh. But he's saying, how do we break the pattern? We're going to put it to death. We're going to put to death the deeds of the body. And you notice that when he says, you are no longer a debtor to the flesh. In other words, I am not going to feed my flesh. My flesh says, feed me. And again, not just natural physical, but thought patterns. I'm talking about the anger, hatred, wrath, outbursts. Those are saying, feed me. And in the same way, I don't have to take a drag or a puff or watch that deal. I don't have to indulge with a bunch of time and think on that hurtful thing over and over again, thinking I'm serving some greater spiritual purpose. I'm not. It's pulling me back. And I realize that I'm not a debtor to that thing anymore. You see through it. There was a great, I don't know if you guys are Star Wars fans or whatever, but that latest one that came out called The Force Awakens, there was this really cool scene between the bad guy is Kylo Ren, and the heroine girl is Rey, I think. Rey, okay, thanks. And what Rey does, or what Kylo Ren does to Rey, is he does what the enemy does to us. The first thing you got to do is isolate. Got to get in a small room, and it's just you and him. Right? You know what the enemy does. In fact, his most powerful intents is when he's got you alone. Not really in a place like this. Yeah, we still attack, but it's not quite as bad as when you're just by yourself off. That's when you really experience it. So this bad dude, Kylo Ren, gets Rey. And this Kylo Ren is this really evil character, and he has the ability to just go into a person's mind and pull out whatever he wants. It's just this mind power, and at the beginning of the movie, they're trying to figure out where something is, and they've got the guy who knows where it is, and Kylo says, that's enough, just bring the guy, you don't have to tell me, I'll get it from him. And sure enough, he gets that guy in a little room, and I'll never tell you, and he takes his hand and he puts it over his head, he's going, oh, and he ends up telling him everything. You know, just weak. And a lot of times, when we're dealing with those patterns of thought, we can feel like, oh, that's my kryptonite, that's my weakness, blah, 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 you know, blah. Things come out. But in this scene with Rey, he's got her alone in a room, and he's got his power, and you can see him, you know, putting it toward her, and she's going, oh, she's feeling the exact same agony, that same temptation, all that stuff. And you can just feel like she's, because he's needing to get the information from her, you know, another key point. And she's just like, oh, feeling that same stress, that same temptation, that same pressure mentally, that anxiety. All of a sudden, as she's looking at him, all of a sudden something changes. Her countenance changes, and she looks at, she says, you're afraid. She looks at Kylo and says, you're afraid. You're afraid. He's not used to that. He's used to having his way with everybody he wants. And all of a sudden, somebody saw through him at the point of temptation. That's, you're afraid. And he got scared and he ran out of the room. You know, that's the point that you have. You have authority. The enemy, it goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And there are patterns of thought. And I've been thinking that thing for 20 years. And all of a sudden, whoa, wait. Pass. It did. Failed the wisdom test. That's wrong. That's not right. Your flesh. I have no obligation to you. I don't have to think about you anymore. Praise God. It comes like a revelation. That pattern of thought isn't used to getting beat up by you. It's used to beating you up. And all of a sudden, you turn the tables by the power of God, by the Spirit of God, by the name of Jesus. And things break in Jesus' name. In his name, we were singing about it, there's healing. In his name, there's deliverance. And there are going to be some times, too, when you're going to get in that place and you're just going to say, Jesus, 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 name above all names. To as many as received you, to them you gave the right, the authority to become the children of God. I am a child of God. I thank you for it, Father. I am yours, bought with the price. I resist you, foul spirit, in Jesus' name. I resist you, pattern of thought, no more, in Jesus' name. Amen. We don't tolerate it. We don't tolerate it. We don't spiritualize it. We don't coddle it. We resist it, and we get free from the middle stuff of the flesh, too. Not just the stuff that we all look at and judge people. We're talking about getting free. Sometimes, you know, the Lord told me once, you know, Jesus wasn't sinless because he was never caught. He was sinless because his heart and his mind stayed on the Father. There's a lot of stuff we can do that nobody sees. But he was pure. And in that place of every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, both categories of thought, there is a freedom. There is a release. There was something that he experienced. So in the meantime, Braden, there's just a couple, two more scriptures I really want to get. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. New Living says, we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world and against wicked spirits in the heavenly realms. A lot of times when you're going through this, thought breaking these thought patterns, and that pattern comes at you and say, no, 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 no. That's when I begin to declare the word. This morning, I loved it. Jody had spoken those promises. There's a surge of spirit bearing witness to those promises, and God wanted to use that as an illustration. There is power in the word. There's power in those promises. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. There is powerful things, the deep that calls into deep. There is spiritual strength. But what we find out here is that we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, those powers and principalities. So all of a sudden, I experience this old thought pattern. Go, nope, that's wrong. No, 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 no. Praise God, here I am over here in victory. Oh, comes back again. No, 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 no. Praise God, I'm standing my ground. Having done all to stand, I'm going to stand there for. There may be times you just need to, if you have occasion, to be able to turn on some worship music and fill the room. You know, a lot of times the enemy tries to get you alone in that room. Well, sometimes you can just turn on the worship music and in a way bring God into the room and begin to worship and have an atmosphere of the presence of God. He'll flee. From that. First, you know, before you resist the devil, you submit yourself to God. First things first. I'm submitting myself to God first. Okay, now from that place, I resist the devil. So when he comes at me, I'm submitting myself to God. Here I am, Lord, throwing a grace. Need some grace to help in time of need. I'm about to resist the devil right now. I just thank you for some grace to help. I'm before you. I'm submitted to you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Now in Jesus' name, go. As I'm going down the road, you might go down 5 minutes, whatever. All of a sudden, you get that thought again. You go, nope, praise God, I'm standing my ground in Jesus' name, every thought into captivity. And you're going back and forth for a while, and you're thinking, what's going on here? Am I crazy? Am I whacked out on religion yet? No, what you're doing is you're wrestling. You're wrestling, and it's normal. Sometimes people get to this point, and they experience the wrestling thing. Oh, this is just whacked out. It's religion. It's crazy. I'm just going to go on down the road, go back in the flesh and flesh out. No, you're still right on track. It's just the act of wrestling. The unseen powers. You're doing better than you think you are. There is a wrestling involved. Yes, there's a pull of the body, but there's a wrestling that is involved in it too. Because when your body, your pattern of thought is used to getting fed for years and it's no longer getting fed, you realize you're not a debtor to it anymore. It's going to still cry for food. It's the same way weaning a baby, weaning a child or something. Weaning your flesh is the same way. When you first wean, you know you're going to have a cry on your hand. Hands, all right? It's the same way when you're going to wean an area of your body, you're not going to satisfy that. You're going to have a cry on your hands. You got to just kind of almost discount that in. But what happens is you begin to not feed it. By the Spirit, you put it to death. And as you don't feed it, that wrestling may be a little vigorous at first, but as it realizes you're not going to feed it, that voice is going to get quieter and quieter and quieter and quieter. In the same way you can get free from the natural physical substance stuff, you can get free from the other stuff too. But you got to recognize it. You got to decide it, and you got to have that same diligence to wrestle and say, no, no, you're going to die. You're going to go the same way as the alcohol and all the physical substance stuff. That stuff's going to die. It's all flesh. You think, oh, this is this intricate contention, this intricate garden variety flesh. I don't mean to marginalize it like it doesn't hurt. It hurts. I understand it. But at the same time, you got to classify it for what the Bible says it is. because that's where your weapons are powerful. When you recognize it for what it is, not honor it and worship it for something it isn't. There's nothing that we are bound and obligated to have to stay in bondage to down here. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Everything. He whom the Son has set free is not 98% free. He's free indeed. There's nothing left that's eating his lunch, because we have all things that pertain to life and godliness through the exceeding great and precious promises that are in the Word of God. And so what does the Scripture tell us in Romans? Here's what we'll conclude. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. New Living says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing his perfect will really is. As you change the way you think, as you don't feed those other areas of the flesh, the clouds will begin to move back. The sun will shine, and you will see things you haven't seen before, because you're not distracted anymore, because you believe. You believe God has ordained and designed you to be free. So breaking through thought patterns this morning. Like we said, it's like a teaching on the mind, but really kind of a real close-up on that area of the flesh that we give a pass sometimes to. Recognizing the patterns, we know what it looks like. We're not ignorant. We look at the works of the flesh, the hatred, anger, contentions. If I have strife and bitter envy and self-seeking in my heart, I'm not getting a revelation from God. It's not a comeback that he wants me to have at that person. It's wrong. The wisdom that does come from above, it's pure, peaceable, and gentle. Isn't that awesome when you do get a revelation from God? It's pure, peaceable, it's right, and you know it's right, and it's God, and there's peace, and there's freedom, there's anointing. You know what you're going to say next, and you already know it's good. You already know it's right. You already know it's pure, because it's the same Spirit. It's pure. It's just like him. It's like him. And so praise God. You recognize the good, the bad. You got to give yourself permission to break them. All right? Yeah, but I've been listening to this one for 50 years. Well, you're a new creation. You have no obligation. Your spirit man is not sold by it. Who you are on the inside is not enticed at all. And you have no obligation. You're not a debtor to your flesh. The phone's going to ring, but you don't have to answer that call. You can just let it ring. You're in denial. Yes, I'm denying my body. I'm denying the flesh. That's what Jesus said. He said, those who seek to save their lives will lose it. But those who deny their physical bodies, their themselves, they'll find it. There's a good denial. I'm not talking pretending like it doesn't exist. Oh, I know it exists. I know the ins and outs of it. I'm on purpose not answering that phone, because I am not a debtor. And it's not going to collect from me anymore. Praise God. I've got permission. And finally, breaking the patterns. What does that mean, actually? Breaking the pattern is just where you're saying, hey, you know what? There is going to be a process here. There is a wrestling going on. There's supposed to be somewhat of a wrestling match. And you know what? When you've got something like that, I almost like to think of it, the Lord kind of showed me a picture of this way, realizing that when you're getting free from something, we kind of look at the weaning illustration, you look at the not answering the phone. But also, if there's something that you've been drawn to, let's say it's a magnet, of something, an argument, one of those, again, those natural white-collar things that are just that thought pattern that's getting you, it's kind of like you've almost got this magnet on your back, and it's just sucking you in, you know? And when you first decide, no, I'm not going to have that anymore, you're walking in a direction against it. I'm going to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of... Well, the closer you are is when it has its strongest pull. But if I'll just keep walking and keep walking and keep walking, that thing is going to lose its pull. It will. You got to have faith in the wrestling match, but it will lose its pull. Just the way the natural substantive stuff does, the other stuff does too. So, breaking the patterns, breaking thought patterns. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that you've given us your word. We thank you for the exceeding great and precious promises of your word. It covers everything that pertains to life and godliness. There's no area of our life, things that we experience that you've left out. They're common to man. And thank God we've got weapons that are not common, but they're powerful through God for pulling down those strongholds, casting down those arguments, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith this morning, if your heart can agree with these words. Say, Heavenly Father, I recognize in my life there are patterns of thought that I've been putting up with. I don't have to put up with them. Any patterns of thought that fail the wisdom test, that are full of strife and self-seeking, can be crucified, can be put to death. I can have peace in that area. I don't have to fix people. I just have to die to the flesh. And there is power in your name, in your word. I have permission by right of the new creation. I have permission by the fact that I'm not a debtor to my flesh. However, I am a debtor. There is one who bought me with a price. I have a debt to glorify you in my body and my spirit, which belong to you. You are my Lord. There is no pattern of thought that should lord over me. You are Lord over everything. Jesus, I open the door. Come in. Every area, every thought pattern, it's you, Jesus. It always has been you. It always will be you. It is you. Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we thank you that you're working in all of our hearts this morning, showing us things, just areas that we can be free indeed. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.